Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Okay, reactions to the stimulus package from three different businesses then. A hairdresser's, a publican and a language school. To you first, Lisa Eccles. You run a salon with 15 staff in Kilmainham. What were you hoping for today?
Well, we would have loved a reduction in the VAT rate, to be honest, Philip. We had the increase last year from 9% up to the 13.5%. And last year, hair salons also lost the trainee rates that we used to be able to avail of for our apprentices. We had to move on to paying minimum wage for our apprentices, all the while subsidising their training. So we do welcome, obviously, that there's an apprenticeship grant now available, but we do need to obviously find out the terms for eligibility for that, because last year there was a national apprenticeship rolled out for hairdressers across the country, but so far to date there's only been 20 places available. So that's obviously not going to be of much use.
You already availed of a restart grant. Could you do with another injection now, and are you eligible having previously gotten one?
See, I suppose there's so much that will still have to be clarified over the next few days as more information comes out. But yeah, personally, we have availed of the restart grant for the rates that we paid for 2019. And we would definitely need a further injection, because that wouldn't have even scratched the surface of some of the debt in regards, like, what was money owed to landlords.
So sorry, hang on 1 second. Do I understand you correctly? The 7,000 grant that you got went to pay off your commercial rates bill?
That was what I got back from a commercial rate last year.
Okay.
But like there was, you know, we were closed for 15 weeks, so there's rent owed there. There's also insurance that had to be paid. Our insurance companies didn't pay any kind of business interruption. So, you know, we've a lot of debt that's kind of sitting there that we're trying to negotiate with landlords at the minute, all the while working at 50% capacity.
Okay, so which would be more useful to you then? A line of credit through the banks, or just a lump sum grant to throw at the banks and say, there, please stop bothering me for debt?
I mean, realistically, nobody needs to be taking on any more credit or any more like debt. I think it's really grants that we need. I do feel that the employment wage support scheme will hopefully, again, if the eligibility and the criteria around that has changed, that will be a support going forward, and that will allow us to keep our 15 staff in employment. But yeah, I mean, with working at 50% capacity, because we obviously have to adhere to social distancing, we've reduced from having 12 seats available in the salon to having 6 seats available at any one time.
And have you considered increasing prices or remaining open for longer?
So we introduced a COVID charge, but like overall, I suppose we don't really want to have to increase prices for our clients, but it's probably something that we will have to
do. And how much was the COVID charge, Lisa?
We charge €5. That's on every service, because we do need to mark out time in between each client for cleaning, and then we provide a mask for clients coming in, and obviously all the extra sanitisation products that we buy,
of course.
And the training that the team has to go through as well, and that all has to be paid.
And is that PPE a significant cost?
It would be. It's actually more the cleaning products that you go through. Like, you go through an unbelievable amount of cleaning products when you're cleaning both before and after each client, which, to be fair, we're more than happy to do. It's just obviously an additional cost to the business. So that's really the bottom line for the PPE charge.
Okay. I'm joined also by David Russell, who runs represents 8 language schools in this conversation, with up to 350 staff and 8,000 English language students in Dublin, Limerick and Cork. What were you hoping for, David?
Hi, and thank you very much for the call. Well, the first thing, we got the continuation of the wage subsidy scheme has been announced, so that's most welcome, because that definitely helps. I mean, something that would be really useful for the whole sector would be a government-backed loan scheme, or even a grant would be even better. I mean, the problem is there's been a number of announcements in relation to loans that are available to businesses. But unfortunately, the banks are always the banks, and they don't do anybody any favours.
Mm-hmm.
So from the information that's available out there, a lot of people are finding it very, very difficult to go through the process to actually avail of these loans.
Even though the banks are getting this money on the most favourable terms proper possible, they are your information, or the sort of the Bush Telegraph amongst businesses, is saying you'll still have to jump through as high a set of hoops as ever.
Absolutely. If not even more. I mean, I've heard of schools who it took them two or three months to get through various stages, and then at the last hurdle, they were told that unfortunately they weren't going to get it. So I think if the government did have some kind of a loan scheme that was either directly from the government and kind of cut out the banks, or, as I said, even if there was a grant scheme, that'd be even more welcome.
Yeah, the government's not really set up, though, to become a lender of that kind,
no,
is it?
No,
And our business plan is still a very good test, or litmus test, of whether a business is possibly going to be long-term viable. Would you not accept?
Definitely. But, I mean, I would say the sector that I represent, the English language education sector, I mean, we're worth as much to the Irish economy as the Irish university sector, who have been granted €100 million. So I think that something definitely needs to be done.
Okay.
A little bit more than currently has been.
You have got an extension on the rates waiver, but I'm taking it you wouldn't have been in a position to pay it this year anyway had it been reintroduced.
Well, that was it. I mean, like, we were on the 12th of March, all education providers were told that they had to close doors. So that's obviously what we did. Very quickly, most language schools rolled out online courses. But obviously sales were way down. Ireland was essentially closed. This sector relies entirely on open borders. We welcome students from all over the world who kind of...
Yeah. And on that, do you have a business model any longer, do you think, David? Or can you move your businesses online? Because obviously, particularly when you're so dependent on travel from South and Central America, that's just not an option at the moment.
Well, it's certainly very, very difficult. I mean, what most schools have done is they've already moved online. Interestingly, I mean, there are sales have certainly dropped, but they haven't died. Like, so luckily, Ireland's reputation has kind of stood to us. Mm-hmm. So we still have students who are ready, willing and able to travel. The question is now, however, if the Irish government are going to allow them to come in. They've implemented the 2-week self-isolation period, which is absolutely fine. And most schools have already put plans in place to put students in hostels and host families.
All right. Dave Russell, the very best of luck. And to you too, Lisa Eccles. Thank you both very much for your insights there.